Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over. It's
over. Here's a chance. That goal. Shot. Rebound. Score. What's going on, everybody? Another episode of Tall Can Sports. There's Rob.
Hey, how are you doing?
How you doing? It's good, man. Things are all right.
Things are all right. That's it, eh? That's all you
got
to say?
That's really all I got.
It's been a while since we've been in here.
Well.
You let the place go, man. What's happening
let
here?
Let myself go.
Yeah. Well, no, that's
way
a,
back
that's a
there.
Decade. That's a decade in the rear view.
What about you, man? What's new in your world? It's got to be more exciting, apparently.
Oh,
just terrible.
It's a bullshit can.
It is kind of soft.
Honestly,
and squeezable.
For sure it is. I'm like, that feels
although
like...
Although I do enjoy a squeezable can now and then.
Yeah. No, I like it firm. Like you can bounce a quarter off of. Come on, man.
Not a Trailer Park Boys can. I mistimed that terribly. I'm sorry. I kind of set you up while you were taking a pull.
That's right, just man.
Bad co-hosting.
That's bad
beer?
Co-hosting.
Okay.
And the beer's not great.
Okay. So this is the Green Bastard
you
IPA.
Bastard.
We never really pinned down a brewery. We think we found an importer, maybe.
It says brewed by NAC Importers.
Yes. Whatever that means.
Okay, but I want to let it go a bit here. The first pull gave me the bit of the. If you've seen Dumb and Dumber, when the state trooper pulls him over and takes
a pull
on the urine, and he makes that. That's kind of my initial reaction to the Green Bastard.
Yeah, yeah, wee bastard.
Yeah, wee sexy bastard.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot. Nicer to say about it. It's
second pull's better though.
It's drinkable, but
second pull's better. Try it.
Always.
Come on, give it a go.
All right.
Come on, do it.
Here we go, everybody. Here we go.
Oh no, it's still terrible.
Yeah, didn't do much for me, man. I think you were trying to lure me in
there.
Yeah,
for sure it was. I wanted you to take a good pull on that, like that one where you go, "Hey, I think the beer's a little warm and tastes a little sour, a little skunky, maybe." I'm gonna take a good haul, see if I can get past that. Whoa. It's worse further into the can.
It's getting worse.
Honestly, who knew? I'm getting closer to that mouse that's in there.
Speaking of lousy.
Hey, just hold on. Yeah, you asked me and how I was doing.
You rambled for 12 minutes.
What I've been up to. Have you listened to the show? I'm just warming up, man.
Okay,
I'm just warming up.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
So I was out. Because it's been a couple, like I said, probably a couple weeks since I've been in studio.
I'm going to go have a leak.
Okay, yeah. Well, come back.
The good
come back, and the listener and I will we'll catch up.
Good.
I caught a little U Sports action. I was out to see a little varsity field lacrosse.
So this was this past Sunday?
This past Sunday, yep. Good chum of mine. Long time. Best man at my wedding.
Refuses to follow TCA on Twitter. Fucking guy.
Really? You sure?
Well, we follow him, but he has not reciprocated.
Well, we'll talk to him about
that. It's bad form, man.
We'll talk to him about that.
For sure.
His son plays for Trent. Trent was in here playing Carlton on the weekend.
Okay.
Absolutely blasted them. 16-1, Trent won.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was totally blown away by the level of lacrosse. It was awesome. And very few things as exciting as a fast break. In field lacrosse, that usually ends up in a train wreck, right? And the slashing, the vigorous.
Similar to this podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Although it moves much faster.
Yeah, for sure.
It moves much faster than this podcast. But it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous sport, and it took me back, in my way back machine.
Days traveling down the 115 to Oshawa.
Kicking ass on dirty, dirty Oshawa people on the way to
and then
two
over to the game.
Two, Honestly, no, man. You know what? As good Peterborough folk,
yeah.
When you went down the 115, and again, I played Oshawa Blue Knights too, field lacrosse for a bit.
Right.
Shit would get hairy. Shit would absolutely get hairy. Early 90s, you know, you come home with blood on your shirt. Some nights it's yours.
Yeah, exactly.
Some nights it's not. Yeah, it was always exciting, that Peterborough-Oshawa rivalry. Yep. Anyways.
Well, it burns to this day.
Yeah.
Probably with a little less fur.
Yeah, for sure. Things have changed, though, in the last 20 years, 30 True years. Man. Anyways, neither here nor there. It was awesome. I'd like to do more, really, is where I'm coming. And I'm also sporting a new, I see you're sporting a new cap tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I am also rocking a new Coburg Kodiaks.
Wow.
Box this lacrosse
guy's in
hat.
Tight.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I know the owner.
Follow us back, man.
I know the, you know, if that's the case, I'll give him an ass kick and we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Just like back in the day. I wanted to talk just briefly, because we haven't ripped on our friends in Edmonton much lately. Or at least as much as I'd like. And they announced this past week a promotion.
Are you talking about the promotion of Cassian to the top line? You're going far, Edmonton. Here we go.
Every Thursday night home game in Edmonton, you will be able to buy, till the end of the first intermission, a 355 milliliter can of Coors for $5. Now, beer prices in arenas, kind of high. We saw the Jays experiment around the dome with some craft beer here and there, some $5 beers here and there.
That's bullshit.
Why?
Well,
is it because it's only to the end of the first intermission?
And it's only the 355. It's only the little midget can.
Can I tell you why it's actually bullshit?
Okay.
Would you like to take a stab at how many Thursday night home games the Oilers have this year?
Two.
Well, on Price is Right rules, you've done all right.
I've gone under.
Yeah. They have three.
Yes, guy.
So, fuck you, right? Like,
but it's a small can of beer, too.
Yes. Everything about it is chintzy and cheap. And
is it Ottawa? Do they steal this idea from Ottawa?
Like, if you don't actually want to do this promotion, that's okay. Just don't do it.
Get behind it.
But to do it three nights. And then, like you said, small can, till the end of the first intermission, everything about it just screams shit. And
do I get a free bobblehead with it? Come on, man.
Connor bobbling his way right out of town here in a year or two. That's what you get. He's very passionate about having tall cans only. That's how that works.
Of course, tall cans is where it's at. Nobody does the bullshit small can anymore.
No. It's over. Let it go.
For sure it is.
Three it's like, Thursdays
it's like,
a year.
It's like drinking a case of bottled beer. Who does that?
Well, we had to do the bottle thing when we had the Labatt 50s a couple weeks ago. John Barrettown, man.
It's true.
But it was a time and a place we were trying to get to. I think it fit nicely.
Should have went with quartz. Honestly,
there you go.
When he enjoys a 50. As you can see, he was stealing mine right off the table, actually, as we were drinking. I had to keep disappearing because I had to keep both of us afloat.
Yeah. Well, that's fair enough. So fuck the Oilers once more, this time for your beer bullshit.
All right. And your Zach Cassian placement in the lineup.
There's just a lot of shit. We've seen a slew of the RFAs getting signed. I want to start in Winnipeg only because Patrick Laine made a little news here in the last day or two.
News.
And he and Kyle Connor, at least at time of recording, these things seem to be changing very quickly, remain unsigned. He has gone to... No, he didn't go to Zurich. He went to Bern.
It's a Finnish guy, coaches there.
Yeah, and I guess there's a few guys on that coaching staff that he knows and is familiar with. The news, though, comes from the fact that he essentially said in the last day or two, you know, if I was on a different team, I'd be on the top line playing with our top guys. And in Winnipeg, I'm a second line guy playing with a rotating cast of
You were characters. A minus 24 last year, Patrick.
With 30 goals.
30 scored. Goals, yet you were still on for 24 more than you were on.
Yeah.
For. That, my man.
Is why you're not on the top line. Scheifele is clearly the big dog there at this point, along with some other guys.
Wheeler.
Yeah, and he hasn't clicked, Line A this is, with Little, their second line center. It's never really worked.
Yeah.
And when they've gone out at each of the last two trade deadlines and acquired center depth, he's sort of ended up with those guys hoping that there'd be better chemistry there.
Stastny and Hayes.
Yeah, didn't really work with Hayes last year. It did with Stastny the year before, yeah, but that's because Stastny...
Hayes was a colossal flop.
Yeah. Stastny, great at both ends, can kind of cover up for some of Line A's deficiencies. I think based on, and we just said he had 30 goals, but he got, you know, most of them in 12 games last year.
Honestly, 17 in the month of November.
Yeah, it was really strange the year he had. I think the bridge is what makes sense for that guy, right? Let me show you for another 2 years that I'm going to get 40 or 50 or whatever I'm going to get, and maybe I'll turn into at least a reasonable defender.
It's not happening.
No, I don't think so either. But at 40 or 50, maybe
it's like saying Solani was going to become a Selkie guy at the end of his career.
But you're never going to give that guy a long-term, high-paying deal that he wants right now, right?
Not right now.
No. So the bridge is what makes sense there. But he's now sitting overseas kind of lobbing bombs at, like, those aren't things you say if you're positive you're coming home, right? Or if you're going back to Winnipeg.
Well, and what he has to understand is everything's quickly forgotten in sports.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to give a shit about that. They sign a deal in 3 days. Nobody cares about that.
Winnipeg's weirdly sensitive.
Hello, Mitch Marner.
We'll get to that.
And you sort of go, it's fine. He has 110 goals in 3 seasons in Winnipeg. They're not letting him go. So he should either figure out if it's going to be a bridge or if they're going to sign him long term, whatever the deal is. Because right now, they have Connor and Liney.
Yeah.
They have room. They got cash.
Well, I guess it depends, right, on what you think those guys are worth long term. Like, well, Kyle Connor's a 30-goal guy now. Like, I'm more comfortable locking that guy up long-term than Line A. And well, I know that sounds crazy, but...
Well, no, not really. And I think you have, when you look at the Besser deal...
Yeah.
That's the Connor blueprint. If you want to go with a
what
short...
What did he come in at? Like, 6?
Besser went
with... It was short-term.
Yep, but it was 4, 6, 7.5.
Right.
Right? Sort of like the Werenski, 4, 4, 7.
Yeah, get that higher number last for your qualifying
poison,
offer.
The poison pill right at the end. That's the thing that's going to say to you... Yeah, I'm left with 1 year as an RFA, but you got to qualify me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, when I'm left with that high one on the end, which is important for listeners who maybe don't understand.
Yeah, there's a year between where your contract ends and before you become an unrestricted free agent. But because your last year was paid at, let's say, 7.5, the qualifying offer has to come at slightly above that.
Right.
So instead of just taking 5.5, 5.5, 5.5 every year, no, you want that last year to be higher because then
sure.
You have to get a raise.
And if they don't want to raise, if they don't want to give you that qualifying offer,
UFA right now,
you walk early.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's why you're seeing the guys who have gone with it. So I think if you look at that Besser deal, that's a guy who's played less than 70 games the last two seasons,
yeah,
but it's at 29 and 26 goals.
Yep.
Like, to me, when you look at Connor with his 30 and 31 or 29 and 31, whatever it was, he's right there with Besser in terms of.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
So to me, that you go, hey, if you're gonna go long, right?
It's gonna be more than that.
You gotta go a little more than that. But if it's short,
like the Besser one to me was that deal ends when the Beagle deal ends. When they got a few deals coming up at the end of that will make some room.
A few bad deals.
Yes, like a lot of bad deals.
JT Miller and the like.
Yeah, and. Erickson is the big one. He'll come off the books then. They will also need to be locking up Pettersson at that point.
So, Pettersson.
But he has set himself up to get a substantial raise and then have another raise again when Vancouver has some more cap space. That's why that one works a little bit. I don't know what Winnipeg's deal is right now because they are... You could make the argument they're on their way out of their window. Like, they've taken some good shots at it and not gotten it done.
Well, they had one good shot where they made it to the Western Final. And
I thought last year they would be better. I didn't expect the Hayes thing to go quite so poorly. He was no Stastny, but I expected them to be right there in that final
West. See, the thing is, when they bring in Stastny, who, as you said, plays a more of a 200-foot game,
yeah,
can distribute the puck, does a bunch of things. Hayes is a bit more of a freelancer as a center, right? He likes to do his own thing.
Yep.
And really, I don't think he's as good as Stastny.
No, he's not. And it didn't. But at the time they made that deal, I don't remember for sure what I said. I'm pretty sure I liked it. Like, they're trying again, right? Let's get somebody.
See, they would have been better with Matt Duchene.
Well, hindsight being what it is, and now he's a divisional rival.
At that time, right? You're like, that maybe would have been the better deal.
Could be.
But I think if you look at Connor's going to get done sooner rather than later, I believe.
I think so, because he's not sitting in Europe throwing barbs at his coaching staff.
He's a bit homely-looking guy, too. I was looking at him on Hockey DB today as I was casting through some stats and stuff.
I wonder what he looks like.
Yeah, he's not as dreamy as I'd like. but yeah, that's weird. But that's,
yeah.
I think if you look at the guys that are remaining, the big ones, right, in terms of Connor, Laine, Rantanen, Point, and Tkachuk.
Yep.
Right? Which of those guys do you think are going to be the last ones?
It sounds like Point. Did you hear what Pierre LeBrun reported that Tampa had offered him? Three years, $5.7 million?
Okay, that's garbage. Yeah. What are you doing?
I'll be taking a seat over here and waiting for you to phone me with something for real. I don't think that's close to getting done. You know, Rantanen went to Joe Sakic in Colorado and said, you see what Mitch just got there? I'm looking at that. And Joe Sakic's going, okay, well, we'll talk later then because I'm not interested in that.
Well, Rantanen, 84 and 87 points in his last two seasons.
Yep.
You look at Point as a guy down there, went from 40 to 66 to 92 points.
Yeah, and as a center.
I gots to get paid. If you think I'm going to take less, it ain't happening.
And Matthew Tkachuk is, like, they're already comfortable in Calgary that he's going to become their highest paid player. It's by how much?
Yeah.
Because you have a guy who just won the Norris. You're about to be making more than him. You're going to make more than Goudreau. How much? And that's still the problem, right? He's not necessarily the same points as Rantanen and Point, but he brings a totally different
77 points, 34 goals last
good.
Year, right? And brings a complete
a fuck
game.
That guy element.
Fuck right? that guy for sure. And so if you look at his agent is his uncle, so it's his mom's brother,
right?
And his father had two.
Wouldn't hire that guy.
Yeah. His father.
Everybody's family's different, I guess.
Yeah. His father had two serious, contract disputes, right?
Was his wife's brother his agent?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so either.
But his name escapes him, but you know the guy.
Yeah.
Who he's a well-known agent. But yeah, this is a family that is a proud family.
Yeah.
Has been around the business for forever. They're not taking less than what they think. I don't think there's any hometown discounts. I think it's Tkachuk is going to be the last one in.
I was going to ask you, so you've got him going last. It's so hard because of the window that different teams are in at different points and how long they might get. Who's getting, I guess the best way, I was going to say highest salary, but who's getting the biggest deal out of those three?
The Florida thing throws a wicked wrench into it, right?
Like, let's say Point is a $10 million guy in Toronto or Ottawa. Is that eight? Eight and a half in Tampa?
I was just going to say, it's an 8.5 in Tampa, right? And,
yeah.
And that's right around what they have. They got about $9 million in space. I think with the whole tax break thing that they have going on down there, he's probably looking at an 8.5.
For how long? Is it 8.5 on a bridge or is 8.5 long term?
See, the thing is, I would be super interested if they went with something that didn't then look like if you went with the 3-year, which seems to be very much in vogue. You're either 3 or you're 6.
Yeah, Tampa's going to clear some cap space, maybe, and
right that you go with. Yeah, see, yeah, it's
so hard, man.
Like
Rantanen. They have more cap space than anyone else in the league in Colorado. They could give him whatever they want, but they got Cale Makar coming up. They got Nathan MacKinnon coming up again, and you know that guy's not taking another.
Yeah, but MacKinnon is what, 4 years out?
2 years out.
Is that it?
Now let's call it three.
Okay.
But it's not as far out. Like, if you don't want to give 6, 7, 8 years to Rantanen at 9.
See, but and you know what? Because I am the constant show me guy, I was sure last year after him having 87 points or whatever it was, I'm like, yeah, okay, show me, show
He's
me.
He's like, all right.
Yeah, and then he went with 87 or whatever.
He,
like,
and he missed a bunch.
And he upped it, and I'm like, okay, you know what? Good
guy,
job.
Kid might be for real.
Yeah.
So to me, that one is interesting just because they're going to have other guys come up who are important. Like Landeskog, again, is only like 2 years. Like this is when you're managing the cap. It's not just the next year or so. It's what does this mean we're going to have in like a Samuel Girard, right? As the defenseman. He's going to need a, he's not going to be an $8 million guy, but he's certainly getting a raise here at the end of his entry level.
He's going to be right in that trade me $5 million range.
So that one's interesting. I think at the end of the day, I think Rantanen will get the biggest deal only because I think it's going to be the longest term. I think Point and Tkachuk both get bridged.
And traditionally, you look at the Finns don't rock the boat too much, right?
Patrick Laine is sitting in Switzerland throwing rocks at Paul Maurice.
And I think he's Kevin Cheveldayoff.
Yeah, well, either way, man. Kevin Cheveldayoff doesn't set the lineup.
You know, but he certainly is the one negotiating this contract. And there's an exception to every rule, right?
Of course.
The Finns are usually just
the rock the boat, baby.
Sturdy, solid, salt of the earth type. So
just good down home.
Yeah, I would be surprised if you're not right that he doesn't get the largest bump.
Yeah,
true, man.
Why don't you? I did on Sunday night an episode of Unforced Errors all about the Marner thing.
Yeah.
Take a swing. Where are you at?
I took my first. I've been sort of wetting my feet on Twitter a bit.
Yeah. I saw you kind of went weird old man troll on Mitch Marner there, tweeting at the kid.
Really?
Guy in his mid-40s. Like, yeah, well, if they were overpaying me.
Yeah.
It's weird, man.
Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to argue with other nobodies like us, not tweet at the actual guys. You weird troll.
Okay, but it wasn't untrue, and it wasn't
anything.
It's
not untrue to you.
And it wasn't anything like, you suck, buddy, or, you know, go fuck yourself.
It was exactly that. If my boss was overpaying me 20% or 20%, I'd be happy to stay, too.
If they were paying me 20% over market value, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
I'd be like, happy to play in front of the.
I didn't even know you still had the Twitter app on your phone. And the first thing I see is, fuck you, Mitch. Like, right to
him. All right.
All right.
But again, to me, it's, I don't blame him, but don't throw all this bullshit around about, I'm not going to play, I'm not going to do this. And then go, I'm right where I want to be, playing in front of the best fans in the world. I know, but it's just such, that's what I was taking umbrage with.
Did you catch any of the PR tour on Monday that his agent was, well, we got 2 offer sheets, he always wanted to stay.
Yeah, and see, this is the thing, which to me makes it even more clear that Kyle Dubas has fucked this whole thing up.
I'm shocked.
Okay, but do you see it differently?
Well, make your point first.
He wasn't going anywhere. If he's turning down or not even signing offer sheets, because, and one of them, he said, Ferris said that Dubas knew of.
Anybody named Ferris, man.
Yeah, shifty. Shifty and unreliable, right? But that if he's already turning down offer sheets, and you know this because he wants to stay.
Yeah.
Guess what? You still gave him what he wanted anyways.
So I'm on record in a few different places. This is too much, and it's too much by a lot. So
is it too much because you said 6.5 or 7?
Okay. Don't be a fuckhole.
Yeah, I'm only a fuckhole because I don't have the audio to play back of you going, nah.
No. I absolutely over and over and over said this will not crack double digits.
I keep hitting that other mic. There.
Yeah. Give me 2. I got stuff to say. I said, I believe, the absolute max ceiling would be Kucherov, and he's blown past it.
You can't pay him more than Kucherov.
Apparently you can.
Okay.
Shouldn't have,
yeah,
but
so,
can.
So this is how the news was broke to me. Matt sending me a text saying, whenever we get back on air, I am completely and totally willing to eat it hard.
Yes. Well, here I am, man.
Yeah.
You know what? It's not a good deal. There is no comparable that says this is okay.
What did your sage co-host say at the time?
You?
Yeah, me. Well, is there another
sage?
One?
Sage? I don't have any sage. I don't remember what you said at the time. I'm sure you'll invent something great right now to
okay,
tell us.
Okay, well, I won't. But I think the good listener will know that, yes, I put it close to 10.
Yeah. So, how is it, unless you're just a bit of a shill looking to blow up the Leafs, how is it that it's
that?
An
over... Do I have that power?
It's an overpay now... But it was always going to be more than, or is it just anything to criticize the Leafs?
No, no. Well, I'm not sure what your question is. What's your question?
State your question.
I don't understand. Do better.
If you're saying that he was always going to be 10 or higher, then how is it an overpay now?
Because it was an overpay then.
Then why were you saying that's what he was worth?
I didn't see he
you
was
You absolutely
worth it.
Said if I this guy's not, here and I, that no, guy's there, no, then he's getting...
I said to you what I've said and what I've maintained all along is they have the two internal magnets in terms of Matthews and Tavares and what they're earning. That's what he was going
to
earn.
I defy you to go back in our archives and find you ever using the term internal magnets.
Okay. But the standard that's set, whatever the wording is... That's what you have. And it's pulling his salary up. That's what I've always maintained.
So I've had a couple of days to come to peace with this. I'm not happy about
this. Come to Jesus.
It's not good. I think it's possible to be a big fan of the direction that Dubas is steering this team, but believe that he did not handle this well.
Did he handle the Matthews one well?
I'm fine with the Matthews number.
Did he handle the Nylander one well?
And you know I'm fine with the Nylander number. 6.9 million for that guy, I promise you, is going to be just fine when he actually has a good season here coming up. Maybe better than Marner's. That's going to be a problem. Marner better be $4 million better than Nylander this year.
But see, he gave Nylander what Nylander wanted.
We don't know that. Look, just let me finish my thought, and then
Sure, man.
I knew there'd be time here. I knew you'd want to tear this down a little, and that's okay.
But I'm not. The Leafs are in a bit of a bind.
They are in a bit of a bind, and that's exactly the point I was about to make.
So yeah.
This is the window that they have set out for themselves. They feel like, and I'm with them, that with bringing in Tyson Barrie and the lineup that they've set up, this is as good of a chance as they've had in maybe... as long as I've been alive.
Are you talking about this year?
Yes.
Not the three-year window that I keep hearing knocked around. To me,
I'm talking about this year.
Okay,
they have a really, really good shot.
I asked for the clarification.
And if Mitch sits out, how bad are you damaging that shot? And so I don't know how bad it was. I don't know that you had to go this high. But it was clear at some point Dubas said... just get your ass to camp. Like, let's go. We're doing this. And I think there's a part of me that says, in this model, this was always going to be what this looks like. He was going to come in. This was going to be the core. It was always going to be highly paid, and you were going to have to sprinkle in around the edges. You gave up probably $1 million more than I'm comfortable with, but it's done, and we're here, and we're going.
See, and I put it all on. It's like a...
Darren Dreger.
Yeah, no, I put it on Paul Marner and what's-his-face jackass Ferris there. Darren Ferris. It's, to me, Dubas has overpaid. Forget about the Tavares. That's open market.
That's UFA. That guy apparently took a pay cut to come.
Well, because I believe he was going to get what he was going to get on the open market between Dallas, San Jose.
San Jose was apparently prepared to make him the highest AAV guy in the league.
Right, so... I understand that Toronto had to be competitive in what they were going to offer with a bunch of other things. So I get that. To me, that's not what I'm talking about. But in terms of Matthews, to me, they overpaid on the term. Well, because to me, they gave him, you need.
Jack Eichel's at 10, Connor McDavid's at 12.5.
If you, yeah.
Austin Matthews is then at 11.5 or 6. That's fine with me.
To me, but. Awesome. I agree with you. I think if he stays healthy, dude's going to blow it up this year. I realize how good he is.
Right.
But to me, yeah, you gave him the money, but you gave him shorter term. To me, it's got to be one or the other. If you look at those bridge deals we're talking about or the shorter term deals,
yeah,
you got to do more with that. If you're going to go shorter, you get less money.
No, I don't disagree with that in principle, man.
Okay, and that's all I'm saying too, because I think we're dancing around it because neither one of us dispute the money that he's making.
Right. To me, the miss is Mitch. I don't love any of them. Nobody took a discount. That Brendan Shanahan thing where he stood up and said, oh, all of us in Detroit did this so we could say.
Never.
It did not matter. It didn't register.
It didn't happen either.
They all took every penny they could get. And when nothing happens at the deadline this year, when there's no Jake Muzzin parachuted in, they'll know why. You took everything you could. So that's the group that has to get it done.
Right. And all I'm saying is, as you said, it's the number's fine, but it's how you massage it with it. Right. So to me, they just overpaid a little bit on all of them. Okay. But again,
the Nylander one to me, let's go to that's totally fine. It was 6 years at 6.9. To me, that's not an overpayment, and that's fine for those numbers. We can talk about the Matthews thing. That maybe should have been longer. The Mitch deal, it's too much. To me, that's the one where he missed by a wide margin.
So if he puts up 95 points for the next 6 years, you still think it's an overpay?
No, but we don't know that now. And this is the argument that you always have. Like, comparably speaking, and it doesn't help when Travis Konecny turns around and comes in at like $1.50 or whatever the fuck that was a day later. Brock Besser.
6.5.
Like, the comparables are not being friendly to the Leafs, but the Leafs window is open now. They have to have these guys going now, and it's kind of a weird...
Okay, let me stop.
Just pay your guys. Just pay your...
Yeah.
If this is the model, because everyone's like, when you gave them an extra million, now you got 50% of the cap spent on four guys. It was always going to be 50% on four guys. Yeah. What was $1 million? It's an extra seventh defenseman.
See, like, it's really, I think, Konecny at 6.9 or whatever he's in at. Is an overpay.
I think he's a little lower than that. I'm just throwing. Wasn't he like 5.5 or something? Konecny was low.
Six times 5.5.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, but to me, while he's not half the player Mitch Marner is,
right?
He's not Mitch Marner. So to me, Philly is to be commended as a 50 point guy.
Like, look,
Travis Konecny.
Let's look at Boston.
Oh, what I'm saying though is they haven't. You have to be responsible for your own house, I think is what you're saying. And what I'm saying is, you are a victim of both drafting well, being
all at once and never again.
But being fortunate, right? Now, to me, Marner at four isn't you're not lucky. That's the fourth overall pick. The guy before you was Strome.
Yeah.
Where's he at? Right. So to me, hey, you chose Marner. That's a good choice.
Yep.
I remember seeing him come up on stage and going, fuck, that kid's 12. That's a terrible pick. He's going to get
blown up. He looked like that at his press conference this weekend.
He's going to get blown up in his first exhibition game.
It's Max Verona.
And so, no, that's been a great pick. You lucked into the Matthews one.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we sucked into the Matthews.
I know. Nobody here is disputing that. I'm just saying, to me, people saying, they've lucked
into. They chose Willie over Nick Ritchie, which had to be hard for the management group we had at the time.
Right. But all I'm saying is you guys have created the environment.
We're doing it different than everybody else.
And I think it's going to bite you in the ass.
It might. It might. When there's a couple ways of doing this in any way or in any walk of life, right? Where you're going down the road and everyone else is going a certain way, it's safer to go that way.
Yeah, see,
but someone has to set the tone or change the direction. Maybe that's what we're doing, or maybe this is going to blow up in our fucking faces. We're going to find out really soon.
Because Milhouse on steroids there. he needs to figure out if he's the smartest cat in the room or if he's out there.
Yeah.
Right? Because most people go, okay, We tried to outskill everybody and it didn't work.
Right.
And you go, well, instead of going with the league trend and bringing in a little bit more grit, no, we're
leaning the fuck into it.
We're going to double down.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm still good with that.
Okay. And I think the team is going to be good this year. I like what happens here now with Tyson Berry.
Yeah.
with Jake Muzzin. But those guys are this year.
Yes, both unrestricted right? coming
and
up.
So when
at
they,
best, you're only keeping one.
Maybe you're not keeping either.
No, I don't know. But
and then you're going to have to jettison one of Johansson or Kapanen, right? That's going to have to happen.
Maybe. No, those are sweet deals. The Nylander deal, in retrospect, is a sweet deal.
Yeah, but like, it's the 3.5 and the 4.5 or whatever those are,
right? Everyone is banking as Leaf fans on the cap going up. It's not going up. Like, the PA has just signed off on not blowing up the CBA, but they're sick of escrow, and that's going to mean, like, part of the agreement is for the next 2 years we barely move the cap. So we're not getting any relief there.
Oh, there's no relief.
The Leafs have their top nine guys locked up for, like, all of them for at least 2 years.
And you better, it comes all the way down to, and you see this where they're talking about, yeah, well, Muzzin and Barry are going to walk, and we're just going to funnel right in Liljegren and Sandin, right? That's how that's going to go.
Sure. What could go wrong?
Yeah. Well, if they're not good enough to crack last year's, Leaf defense corps.
Well, Dermott will be back. One of them, I think you can keep one, and it's probably Muzzin, but how long do you want to? Because he's 30 or 31, right? So that's sort of the shift. The Leafs are anticipating that this is what's going to happen. You're going to have to pay your in-prime guys, and it's going to be the veterans who take lower deals later as they become UFAs. And that might be true, but you're the only one operating that way right now.
Well,
and until that shift fully happens... Like, I wanted to shift to Boston here a few minutes ago. They just got Charlie McAvoy locked up for 3 years on a bridge deal for super cheap. All of their guys are making less than 7.2, but their window's different. It's now, right?
Yeah,
for them, so, because all their guys are older, they have to get it done now. And so you can kind of compare the two, because the Leafs also are in a window to win right now, but they're locking up their guys long-term. McAvoy's like, I'm going to wait those 3 years when Chara's gone, and perhaps Bergeron is no longer making anywhere close to, although that guy's a machine, he might play forever.
Yeah, but he's always hurt, though.
Bergeron?
Well, yeah, he's always nicked up, he's always and he's playing
with
through
his punctured
stuff.
Punctured lungs and stuff.
Yeah, this is it, no, and broken wrists and whatever else. And McAvoy is 3x5. Now, I don't know if it's actually 5, 5, and 5.
Right.
Like, that's all it shows up on Cap Friendly. Yeah, I'm not privy to.
You weren't in on those negotiations?
Yeah, honestly.
Idiots.
Sweeney, douchebag. Give me my call. Call me back, man. What's happening here? But yeah, so in terms of, when you look at Werenski and you look at, and Carlo went 2x2.5, I think.
Yes.
Now, he's not McAvoy or Provorov or Werenski, but
it's. But like, McAvoy might be their best defenseman.
Well,
right now.
Yeah,
Krug could talk about it. Well, Chara's slowing down.
Krug, yeah. Yeah. See, I keep waiting for that guy just to fall into dust.
Well, if he does, it will be on top of Mitch Marner in the crease during a great Leafs scoring chance.
And all the jaw wiring is gonna crush Mitch Marner. But yeah, Krug to me is he's a time bomb, right? He's never been great defensively. He had a great playoffs.
Yeah.
But to me, that's not the majority of his game, right? That's sort of the off. So, McAvoy is certainly, they put him up with Chara and they let him roll. But, yeah, I'll be super interested to see how this turns out for the Leafs. I think they're going to have a boffo season. I really do. They're going to end up playing Boston in the first round.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, now...
Although you've come off that a little, you were saying before they were going to win the division, and
I'm not sure about that.
I'm not either.
But they're injured
a bit here at the start too. They're nicked up. No,
yeah, but I am sure that Toronto's going to finish second, and we'll get into.
Yeah, we got time for that.
To me, Boston may not even finish third in this division, right?
Well, I saw a prediction from a Habs fan, go figure, the other day on Twitter that had Tampa first, Florida second, Montreal third, Boston fourth, Leafs out of the playoffs. So. Well, that's how,
okay,
man.
Okay, did somebody did that same person say if you flipped Toronto and Montreal's home records, Toronto would be out of the playoffs? Like, I heard that stat somewhere today. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, how about if we scored 50 less goals, we wouldn't be in the playoffs? Like, that's the stupidest shit I ever heard. Like, if ifs and buts were candies and nuts. Like, don't give me that shit.
Well, someone else, there was a great, and I don't know who he's a fan of, but just was if trying to justify the Marner contract. It's like, if the Leafs don't have Marner last year, they're a lottery team. You're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, if they took power play goals out, you would never make the playoffs.
There's some scary shit. You were probably better off Twitter.
Yeah, if you only got half a goal for every power play goal, you would not be in the playoffs. Like, don't give me that stupid shit. Yeah. Who cares? The thing I have time for is, and despite, you know, running it down 5 minutes ago, if Nylander's there for a full year in a seven-game series, him playing at 100% and being and clicking.
Well, I'm back with Matthews. It looks like they're going to do.
Then they probably beat Boston. If you want to talk about the hypotheticals,
sure.
Right? If you can run with a healthy Nylander who's been playing all season and doesn't come in 30 pounds overweight, we could talk about that.
Hey, I wish my Willie was anyway.
Yeah.
Anywhere close to 30.
Longer end. Yeah, exactly.
The only other thing I wanted to bring up, and not because I think there's a ton of discussion here, but just because I find it interesting, the Hurricanes will start the season without Justin Williams, but they have brought in Jake Gardner. So you can substitute
and Ryan Dzingel.
Really? Okay. Doesn't fit into my narrative here.
But
just that you have probably replaced the greatest Game 7 player in NHL history.
With the worst Game 7?
With the worst Game 7 player.
Two Game 7s and a dash 9 or whatever he is. Good for you, man. Mr. Game 7.
If I'm the Hurricanes
with Mrs. Game 7.
In the playoffs, I'm looking to wrap it up in 6 at this point.
Well,
that's ugly, man.
And I'm interested in what that looks like for Jake Gardner, right? See, obviously, everybody cut him a wide berth, whether they're unsure of the back or...
Yep. But, and there was talk he wanted to stay in Toronto if they could make that work.
That's not happening, Jake. Trust me, man. They may have loved you, but...
We didn't, though.
Yeah, but the writing's on the wall.
Many of us did not.
Writing's on the wall, man. Look at it.
Nobody would give him the long-term deal that he wanted, and he didn't even get a raise. He got the exact same AAV that he had in Toronto. So there's some concern there, but if he's healthy, that Carolina defense continues to get better and better, I guess.
And they keep saying Justin Falk is on the good Justin Falk.
Yes.
Not the one that ended up in Ottawa. How about, before we get out here, another little foray on Twitter for me, Jared Spurgeon.
Yeah.
Signed.
Not good.
Not good, man. And honestly.
Were you surprised to see 7.5?
For
the
sure.
Highest ever
and it starts at 30.
Yeah. Yeah, 7 years, I think it was, at $7.5 million.
Yeah, but it kicks in a year from now. Like, they've extended him a year early.
But
and I'm going all Johnny High voice because...
I'm indignant.
Well, because to me, the guy is, he's a forever. He's been in the league for 8 years. The first five, he's around a 20-point guy.
Yeah.
He had two 30-point seasons, or 30-ish, and a 43 last year. Like,
yeah.
You think at 37, he's still going
to... He's got her figured out.
Well, Billy Guerin... Welcome to the business. What did Fenton leave a little bit of fumes behind? Like, what's happening there?
Well, they were apparently one of two teams that threw the alleged Mitch offer sheet down. Like, that had to be still a Fenton thing.
Yeah,
you don't have room for
right.
that.
Who do you think it was? Right, if you're thinking so, one of your votes is for Minnesota.
For whatever it's worth, it hasn't come out publicly. The only reputable, if we're calling him this, or NHL connected guy who's thrown out teams is Matthew Barnaby, who works sometimes with NBC and
Jesus the Christ.
Yeah, and he said
does
it was
stand up comedy too on the side.
He said it was Columbus and Minnesota, so we don't know if that's true.
See, but I would have put not a lot of money, but if you would have asked me, I would have said the Islanders.
The Isles,
and I would have maybe led a little bit with Columbus.
I think Columbus makes sense. Yeah. I don't know how Minnesota was ever going to be.
Or on the outside, maybe Montreal.
Yeah. Taking swings out there. And
well, just swinging. Just out here waving at shit. Which should be the name of this show, actually.
But Jared Spurgeon, good defenseman. But they have, like, all of these guys now, like, Suter and Parise still, like, all of these guys 3 years from now are still going to be making just piles of cash on the Minnesota cap. And now add Jared Spurgeon to the
with
pile.
With Zuccarello.
Yeah.
With Stahl, with Koivu.
It's going really good.
Honestly, I'm just like, that's what I said. I'm like, at least you're getting younger.
Bad Nick Backstrom.
Oh, wait, not happening at all. You're
like, man, a little bit. 30.
30, yeah, for sure. He is the young man. And so good for you, Minnesota.
Well, I was looking earlier, just reading an article from The Athletic that had some comments from Jason Spezza. Obviously, signed with the Leafs now.
Spez!
He's 36 years old. He is the fourth oldest forward in the league this year. And last year, starting year, he was 14th. So I guess 10 fucking geezers keeled over.
Well, he bumped up a year.
36, man. Like, well, that's it. You're done. You're toast.
Well, and again,
$700,000.
I think if you can use him properly.
Oh, I'm happy with the signing at $700,000 as a depth guy. That's fine. But you're 36 and you're out of the league.
If you listen to the reports out of Dallas, and I think if you can have Spez on your second power play.
Yeah. I don't think, like, he was right around just like 20 points last year or something.
Well,
like
he was very underutilized in Dallas. And okay. If you listen to the reports out, they're saying he just can't keep up with the pace.
I believe that's probably true, but
right, and so
can
so
he cut Freddie the Goat's pace?
Yes. Yeah. Well, there you go.
That's all we're looking for.
The Goat. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. That'll be stupid.
That'll be stupid interesting.
Yeah.
Big fat tongue. Whatever. Yeah.
Honestly, I've bit my cheek earlier, and so no,
this guy's fighting through it, man. He's battling
for sure. I'm bringing it here, man, despite having to be on the IR.
Yeah, we'll wind this one down, man. You can give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Cane Audio.
Talking to you, Webb.
Yeah, do it, man. Come on. Facebook.com/TallCaneAudio. Don't do that. It's just Twitter and Instagram, really. That's all we're up to. That's Tall Can Sports for another week, and we'll catch you all on... where the fuck is the out button? It's all new over here. I know nothing has changed for you. You just got a mic sitting over there. We are all
and
new.
An empty beer.
Yeah, all right. We are all new on this side of the table, man. So we got to get the hell out of here. That's Tall Can Sports.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.